Leafs Nation postgame.
Let's go!
Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Three goals on 13 shots, and that is the night for your Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm talking about Michael Hutchison, who spells Frederick Anderson after 20. This is Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Quite a somber jaunt to the subway. Very likely it's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick. A deflating 5-3 loss here to the Florida Panthers, which I don't know about you, Gord. It had the same feel that game in Calgary way back when, where the Maple Leafs had a lapse early in the third period and blew the game. The Maple Leafs are firmly in control of this hockey game, folks. Austin Matthews scores early in the third period. It's 3-1, feeling good about ourselves, enjoying the press box popcorn. Next thing you know, a couple of back-to-back goals, two goals in 58 seconds. Brand new ball game, and the Panthers take over from there, Gord.
Yeah, boy, the walk to the subway was a mass exodus once the empty netter happened.
It happened 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's just, first of all, they did show up for the game, which they didn't against the Florida Panthers January 12th, maybe their worst effort of the season. Maple Leafs give them credit for showing up. We're talking the second intermission, how Austin Matthews especially showed up. And like you say, he gets a goal to put him up 3-1. And then, remember early in the season, you're talking about the Calgary game, but also a home game. The Tampa Bay Lightning came back from a couple goals down and beat the Leafs in the third period. That was really impressive. Like, Tampa Bay really took it to them. I think Jim Ralph's comment that this is as unimpressive a comeback, not meaning to take much away from the Florida Panther team, but it really was.
Yeah.
And, boy, the other storyline now, Freddie Anderson wondering how much an injury situation might have been part of why Michael Hutchison started on Saturday. We saw him kind of tweak and act funny in the first period. Hutchison came in to start the second. Was not really tested in the second period at all. Could not come up with a big save. He and Cody Ceci had awful nights. Awful nights. And Sergei Bobrovsky, once again, I shouldn't say once again, he hasn't done it enough for the Florida Panthers, but they went out, paid the big bucks to get him over. Goaltending beat the Leafs tonight. It's that simple. Goaltending beat the Maple Leafs tonight, and we, Leaf Nation, thought we were over this happening on a regular basis. Hopefully it's a one-off. Now you got to wonder, what's Freddie Anderson's status? The crowd's going to be very quick to get on Michael Hutchison. I'm telling you, they cheered him when he got the almost shutout. He got the first win and whatever, but the memory is not in the rearview mirror, and the games are very real, and these are real points they bleeped away tonight.
Yeah, and again, as we were looking over the standings before we came over here to do the broadcast, I believe the Maple Leafs are now on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs. Florida still has two games in hand. The Islanders have three games in hand. It's just amazing how quickly the narrative can change. So again, if you're just tuning in, a 5-3 deflating loss here for the Maple Leafs on home ice against the Florida Panthers. A team, by the way, without their captain and best player, Alexander Barkov. To me, it was more so who ended up destroying the Maple Leafs in this game. Edmonton native Mark Pesek, who is known by Kraft to be a defenseman, played forward in this game and also D at times, scores the first career hat trick of his career. Great effort on the empty netter, by the way. A horrible giveaway by Mitch Marner, I believe. But, I mean, what a night. A night he'll always remember for the entirety of his career.
Yeah, do it in this building. That's right. If you can make a difference in one game like that and you're a fourth liner, that's huge. Florida's had seven defensemen a lot of games.
Yeah.
He's kind of been that
floater.
A little bit of a swingman that way. And, yeah, it's the unsung player that did it tonight. But, you know, again, I just said the Leafs shouldn't win every game. I'm just, you're going out, you got to get back on a tear, you got to get back winning games. They did that last week. Every now and then a hot goaltender is going to beat you when you bring your game, like the Leafs did tonight. But man, this time it was the mix of the hot goaltender on one side and the cold goaltender on the other side. This is an unfortunate effort. This is not the terrible effort in Florida. And at the end of the season, Nick, and I know you can say this for every team, any team that just falls short of the playoffs or even just ekes into the playoffs will pick one or two games they look back on. It's not the January 12th game, because that was one Florida just cleaned the Leafs' clock. This would be the game. If there's a swing of one or two points and it's that narrow, and it could be in game number 82, this would be the night that basically decided the playoffs if it came down to that.
You're correct, but again, the narrative all season long for this Maple Leafs team has been based around the backup goalie position. This is not new information. I'm sorry.
2 years in a row now.
We come on this broadcast, and we're pretty fair. I mean, Michael Hutchison was good against Ottawa. Taking nothing away from the Senators, they are the Ottawa Senators, one of the worst teams in this league. The Florida Panthers, we think, are destined for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And they expose Michael Hutchinson beyond belief. The Hoffman goal just has to be stopped, simply put. I mean, you can make an issue and say, oh, it deflected off a skate. Okay, I get it. But you got to find a way to buckle in. Even the other one backdoor, the back pad one, I forget who scored that one. But you need to make saves. And I'm not saying Frederik Andersen-type saves, because he's the upper ilk of this league in terms of net mining. But you need a guy competent enough. And that's with all due respect. I didn't want to come on here and rip Michael Hutchinson, because at this point, we know what it is. We know what an issue, a glaring hole it is, the backup goaltending situation. But, Gord, 3 goals on 13 shots. And the 7th time this season, according to our very own Sam McKee, that he's surrendered 3 goals in a period?
And you know, early on the and I think part of it why is that there's a fragility about the fans and their confidence in him, and hopefully that isn't how he feels and how the team feels. Apparently, a quality guy, really well liked. Hey, local guy, you're pulling for him.
Yeah.
But it just has not happened. It did not happen last year with Garrett Sparks, and at the end of the season, it still did not happen. And Garrett Sparks isn't in the NHL this season. And Michael Hutchinson came up last year, and to his credit, and again, it's different when you're stuck playing 5 or so games that he had to, and Leafs had no netminders. He played okay, but then all of a sudden you are the guy, and you weren't able to get points. And now, you know, this is different than being spotted a couple of games, which you played well. Tonight, you were the guy. This was a big game. And you couldn't do it. And it's really that simple. Again, I talk about Cody Ceci having a tough game. If you're trying to I'd like to point fingers at the many positives.
But
there were so
many
positives in tonight's game. But Cody Ceci, if I had to pick one other guy that had a tough game, it's him.
And, Gord, that's why I continue to echo that they need at least one defenseman by the deadline, if not two. The backup goalie position, it is what it is. And, you know, we'll see what happens here. I'm sure you know that old gif of Kyle Dubas on 2 different phones. That's happening right now. Like, you got to know what's going on, and I'm sure they do with Freddie Andersen. Upper body injury. I think, at least to me, it's not a lower body injury, which in my world is better than an upper body injury.
Yeah, than the nagging groin injury.
Yeah, exactly. That's your biggest fear when it comes to a goalie. But again, we're not going to begin to speculate what's going on with Freddie Andersen. But you've got to investigate, analyze first what's going on there. And then if it's not what you're looking for, then clearly you have to jump on something quickly here, no?
You don't want to get another guy that just plays the same, but yeah.
You're right, but I mean,
this is where your pro scouts have somebody. Yeah. You probably give up a draft pick just to get in. He's probably playing at the American Hockey League level right now, or he's probably, you know, it could be a backup goaltender on a team that, I'm not talking the New York Ranger trade getting a goaltending prospect of the future. That's a big trade. That's a real big trade.
I'll name 2 guys. Casey DeSmith, Pittsburgh, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Aaron Dell, the backup right now, or the number one for the San Jose Sharks.
Like, Casey DeSmith played better, had a real tough start. I think the fact Tristan Jarry beat him out, but now you see why he did, probably affected him mentally, but he's got his act together. And, yeah, San Jose's got to make some moves.
Yeah, and so do the Maple Leafs, it seems. The urgency is picking up around here, and we'll see the latest, and we'll hear from Sheldon Keefe coming up later on in his post-game media meeting. But, you know, who knows the extent of the injury when it comes to Frederik Andersen. So the Maple Leafs lose 5-3 here to the Florida Panthers. Still to come, Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. We're going to break it all down. A really, really deflating loss when the Maple Leafs were in full control of this game. But again, Frederik Andersen goes down. Next thing you know, it's a 5-3 loss to the Florida Panthers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to Scotiabank Arena after a 5-3 deflating loss here to the Florida Panthers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Maple Leafs falling to 19-8-3, by the way, under Sheldon Keefe. Kasperi Kapanen returns after being a healthy scratch on Saturday due to internal accountability. He slept in for the morning skate, as we found out. He had an assist in this game. I thought he was pretty decent all in all.
It was feisty, almost trying to get a fight going at one point.
Yeah, and that's the thing we echo on this broadcast. The Maple Leafs were actually pretty good in this game. They deserved to win this hockey game. Florida didn't deserve to win this game. But, again, Sergei Bobrovsky, 32 saves, massive. I mean, when push comes to shove, especially this time of year and you're vying for playoff positioning, goaltending is so important, Gordon.
And we've seen as well, like Sheldon Keefe has had this, you mentioned his record as a coach, like this ability to always push the right buttons. We saw against the Winnipeg Jets, the Leafs tie it with 11 seconds left to face off.
You're right.
An icing, then a face off. You can see Sheldon picking times when he gets irate with the team, and generally he's had like 100% success. Something positive's happened. But you know what? And if you get bad goaltending, you're not a good coach. It's that simple. So
you're
we saw
right.
that, you know, tonight is 3-3 tie, and he's trying to light a fire under the team. Geez, we had a 3-1 lead. It's a big game. And that, and then you get another weak goal, and it just, all you're doing, all the fire and brimstone you're espousing, just the deflation in a bench on soft goals.
You can feel it. I don't know if you felt it as soon as they showed Michael Hutchinson's name on the scoreboard and said, "Hey, there's a coach or there's a goaltending change." You can feel sort of the atmosphere change a bit, and that was in the second period. But again, he only faced three shots in the second period. It was in the third period. As soon as the first one went in to make it 3-2 game, I felt the mood change.
Yeah, I said at the second admission, I was being positive.
Yeah.
I knew he only had three shots. He had no scoring chances against him in the second period. So the Leaf team played well around him. But I said, his deportment. He came out as Hutchinson now early on. There could have been a scoring chance. He skated almost to the blue line, made a good play. And, you know, things that he struggled with earlier about handling the puck or just being in sync, passing the puck and that to defensemen, seems to be – they seem to be in sync that way. But then just in the third period, man, Leafs score early. They've controlled the game. They've dominated the game. They're up 3-1, so you've deflated the Florida Panthers. And then all of a sudden, you get these, you know, substandard goals.
Yeah.
And the Leafs goals really were things of beauty.
They were.
And they worked the puck, and, you know, little deflections, then an Austin Matthews special. And they really were. And then, hey, give full credit to Pizek and all the other guys there. I don't mean it that way, but it just, they took advantage of some real unfortunate and unnecessary defensive faux pas.
And quick math, too. The Panthers have now outscored the Maple Leafs 13-6 here on the season, or 13-7, actually. The Leafs scored four in that game, that 8-4 loss back on January 12th. But, again, same old story. Can't keep the puck out of the net. It was that story certainly in that night in Sunrise, but tonight a bit of a different one, of course, with Freddie Anderson going down. And no doubt that's going to be the big-time story coming up Toronto or tomorrow on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Gordon.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is they do get the good thing, you think, is there's two more opportunities playing the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
The downside is if this is the way they're going to, you know, the result they're going to have, that's not good. But they do at least get to go head-to-head because it looks like this is going to be their battle. The two wild card spots right now would go to the Metropolitan Division. That all could change. That all can change, but right now it looks like the Leafs and Florida Panthers would be vying for third place in the Atlantic Division, and the other team would be flat out of the playoffs. But all you can do is go and win games and get your points, and the Maple Leafs had two tonight, and these are two that just got bleeped away. And
well put, yes.
It's part of the regular season, but at the end of the regular season, these are the ones you're going to lament and say, here's why we're not playing in mid-April.
Yeah, this one stings, but they do even out, right? You mentioned that Winnipeg game. They do even out as the season goes on, but again, as the games count down here, they get more important and more important. Again, that's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. The Maple Leafs falling 5-3 here to the Florida Panthers. Game 1 of 4 in a very busy week for this Maple Leafs team. Busy stretch overall. On Broadway Wednesday night, we suspect at this point in time it's going to be Michael Hutchinson who starts that game. What do you want to see from the Maple Leafs going forward for the rest of the week here?
Well, I like what I've seen the last four games, including tonight, except for the third period. So you think about the six games before the break. You know, Freddie had been given kind of ordinary goaltending. The team hadn't played great. The record wasn't great. And then they get three games in a row, and they win them different ways when they came back, Nashville, Dallas, and Ottawa. And Saturday's was a bit on the ugly side. Ottawa played a very dull defensive style, but good on the Maple Leafs, staying with the plan and found a way to win it, which was huge. And then tonight, they really should have won this game. So I like the way the team's playing. I just think, you know, the goaltending component is just the one thing that made the difference tonight. I'd like to see Michael Hutchinson, if he starts, you know, play like he did that Detroit game or whatever, when, you know, his last few games around Christmas where he seems to have his act together. Elvis Merzlikins wasn't playing very well as backup in Columbus. And then when Korpisalo went down, he's taken it and run with it and played really, really well. So, I mean, that's what you hope.
Well, that's a thing, too, I think, with goaltending at this level is consistency. If you're not consistent, you're not going to be in this league. I mean, there's a reason why Michael Hutchinson has played in the NHL the last, you know, various years. Like, he has moments where he's pretty decent, right? But they are against inferior opponents, and you try to slot him in the proper spots. But, again, consistency is the big word for me here when it comes to Hutchinson because, you know, he's been solid at times the last little while, but really exposed in this hockey game, and I can't fathom them going on the next couple weeks. Who knows the extent of this Anderson injury, but they've got to solidify this as quickly as possible.
And the other part is, I mean, this is the NHL, and all everybody wants is a chance to play. That's all Jordan Binnington wanted, and he grabbed it, seized it, and never looked back. And then you have, you know, Garrett Sparks looks like he hasn't seized it. Will he ever? I don't know. But, I mean,
Doubtful, using
those couple of examples, James Reimer was the guy that was low on the depth chart, came, and was a serviceable goaltender here. Not the guy you necessarily want as your number one. But, you know, he's going on playing really well in Carolina right now. So whatever it may be, you want to get that chance and you want to grab the brass ring. And Jack Campbell has taken a ton of years. He's still really just a backup for a guy that was picked so high in the first round. But, you know, this is the opportunity. Michael Hutchinson or anybody last year, Garrett Sparks, that's what they want, you know. And it's frustrating if you never get that chance. They're getting that opportunity.
And to that point, Gord, on this broadcast, at least, we're never going to use injuries as an excuse. There are so many teams around this league who have been dealing with injuries every game. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they just motor right along.
And Columbus.
I get the importance. You know, exactly. Korpisalo goes out.
Now Wendberg's out, you know.
So it's just one of those things. Yeah, it stinks. The news is terrible. We'll see what the extent of it is. But you still got to bear down. You got to rally through this.
No, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. But the other part, if Freddie Anderson is out, then whether we kicked around some names like Casey DeSmith out of Pittsburgh earlier and Aaron Dell, the backup goaltender for San Jose, maybe Jim Ralph coming out of retirement. I don't know if that, but just those kind of elements, they would have to look at something if Freddie's going to be out for any period of time because, you know, Wednesday will be a road game. And again, that's hope all goes well. But if not, then Friday, you got a crowd.
It's a back-to-back this weekend.
You got a crowd on pins and needles Friday night. If Hutchinson starts at home and has struggled Wednesday, and then Saturday in Montreal. I mean, it's a great Hockey Night in Canada game. We'll have it on the Fan. But all of a sudden from last year, John Tavares scoring in overtime, and that kind of cemented it for the Maple Leafs. You know, that was just the cherry on the sundae. And all of a sudden, they could add to the Toronto Maple Leafs woes, and they still think they're kind of battling, too, in the Atlantic Division. So it's a four-pointer for them.
Yeah, perhaps we get a Kazemir Kaskasuo sighting in the next couple of games, too. Who knows, gets summoned from
You never know. Yeah. You never know. And again, it's ahead of what you want. But again, use Jordan Binnington.
We're just speculating.
They just had to get somebody up. You know, where Carter Hart was a big prospect with the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, it goes on and on. We see that in Florida's case, Samuel Montembeault got sent back to the AHL. Yep. But again, he's a prospect, and he just felt he wasn't quite ready. Thatcher Demko's now doing the job in Vancouver. But in Hutchinson's case, you know, he wasn't really a prospect of the Leafs drafted internally. He was there, a stopgap measure, stopped the bleeding last year, but now he's getting a chance to thrive, if he can, on a regular basis as an NHL day-to-day goaltender.
We're here at Scotiabank Arena, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, standing by for the postgame podium of Sheldon Keefe. In mere moments after that, we'll be joined by Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And Hockey Night in Canada breaking down a 5-3 loss here to the Florida Panthers. Game 1 of 4 in this week. The Maple Leafs at Madison Square Garden on Wednesday, home to the Anaheim Ducks on Friday. And as Gord mentioned, in Montreal to take on the Canadiens on Saturday night, Gord.
Yep, just looking forward. I see John Tavares, so hopefully they get Sheldon Keefe at some point. This is we're getting used to the new Sheldon Keefe time. Like Mike Babcock's normally on a plane back to Detroit at this time or wherever he would go. But Sheldon
Keefe, shade, Gord?
I think he lets the players talk first of that. But just again, looking ahead to the week, and we're getting to that game on Saturday. But, yeah, this is one of the busiest. Boy, like I'm just sitting here saying, and the Maple Leafs showed up, and they played well. So they know it, too. Just it's kind of been cool. You had a Saturday game, no travel, Monday game now. You had 2 points in the bank, and then you're going to have 3 games in 4 nights, And that's always a tough proposition.
Yeah, and certainly the ones you look at, they sting a bit. You know, this one for sure, especially back January 12th, they got embarrassed in Sunrise. All 17 people there were like, wow, that's unbelievable.
But that one's kind of more understandable. You say, hey, we lost as a team. And again, to repeat, that's where Sheldon Keefe's line about being an immature team came into play, how they were not ready, not prepared for that game. They were prepared for that game tonight. And that's what makes it disappointing. And it's the one thing. It's the elephant in the room, except you're aware of it.
It's a big, big elephant, Cord.
And it happens, you know, quite often goaltending steals a game, but this is a combination of goaltending on one side and just indifferent goaltending on the other side, making a difference in tonight's game.
Yeah, other side, Sergei Bobrovsky, again, the big story, 32 saves and a gutsy road win for the Florida Panthers. You're without Alexander Barkov, who there was thought that could maybe play in this game, lower body injury. To pull out a win and to get a hat trick from Mark Pesek, here's Sheldon Keefe.
If he's feeling better, is what I'm told, they're just going to have to give him the night and see how he is in the morning.
What play did he get hurt on?
I don't know those details, no.
Was he in concussion protocol?
He was. He went through that whole process, but he my understanding is he went or the results were positive on that, and they were just, given the nature of the injury and everything, they wanted to take caution and give it time. So that's what they'll do. They'll give him tonight and see how he is in the morning.
You know yet?
No, I don't. We'll have to see how he is in the morning and if he gets on the ice and practices and all that kind of stuff. But practice isn't ruled out for tomorrow at this point.
What did you like from 41 minutes of tonight's hockey game?
Well, I thought we played a really good game. I mean, I think if we play that game, that type of game 100 times, I think we probably win 99 of them, something in that neighborhood. But you don't get the points, and that hurts, so... obviously, we get the 3-1 goal, and it should be over from there. But we lose our focus a little bit, and then we let them get the second one, and then we just never really recovered. So that was a challenge for us.
So they talk about maturity. The team, is this another case of maturity, the 3-1 lead? Or?
Well, yes and no. But, I mean, the result sucks, right? But I don't think... the result is in any way indicative of the way the game went. I mean, talk about the maturity of our team. A lot of the narrative is just how we can't defend. It's the best defensive game we've played the entire season. So, you know, I don't know if we gave up more than 4 scoring chances at even strength throughout the whole hockey game, including the third period. So that's the way it goes. We would have liked to had more offense and score more and grow a bigger lead. I thought we had plenty of opportunities to do that, and we didn't. So we let them hang around in the game, and then, as I said, we did lose composure, I thought. Not composure, but just got distracted by the 3-1 goal, and perhaps that's an area we'd like to have back and do a better job of, but there's a lot of things to like about the game today.
If necessary, how much faith do you have in Hutchinson starting a number of games in a row?
I'm not going to answer hypotheticals tonight.
How would you assess how Hutchinson was able to...
Well, obviously it didn't go very well, but it's a challenging, that's a challenging scenario. I mean, he comes in cold when he's not expected to play, and he goes in the second period, and I don't, other than a couple dump-ins, I don't know that he had any shots through two periods. So that's a tough ask of any goalie, but you know, he is part of the team and he wants the opportunity. He's in the net, and you know, he'd like to see positive results, but he's in tough here today. I take a lot more from the games he's played for us previous than I would tonight.
Thank you.
All right, so much shorter than the pregame there from Sheldon.
Well, because Keith. What else can you say?
Yeah.
Right?
It sounds precautionary, which is good.
Yeah, well,
on Anderson.
No, that part's good about Freddie Anderson, but what else can you say about the game tonight? He just said,
he hit it,
99 times out of 100, I think we'll win this game. I'll take this effort anytime. And will you start Freddie Anderson, or excuse me, would you start Michael Hutchinson on consecutive
Luke
games?
Luke Fox,
I don't
Savage.
Want to talk about hypotheticals. And then just sort of also saying, yeah, this is just a tough one. I'd rather go back the last few games that Michael Hutchinson played and look at that as a more testament of his body of work. And we'll find out. I mean, it looks like a good chance he'll get a chance to do it on Wednesday. If Freddie's healthy for Wednesday, that's great. He'll likely do it Friday or Saturday then and just hope, give him a chance to bounce back. But tonight, it's that simple.
I love how he pled the fifth and would not answer the Hutchinson question. Right? Well,
no, he did answer it. He did answer it. He generalized it about hypotheticals, but he wasn't going
to
he wasn't going to give a BS answer that, hey, I love this guy. No, just more about, and then the answer later on just saying, I'd rather go more by his body of work in recent games than tonight. I mean, because there's no question, tonight was just a big palooka.
Yeah, that's very well put. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame. Let's go downstairs where we join Chris Johnston of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Pretty interesting. We just heard from Coach Keefe. I mean, pretty hit it on the head. I mean, the Leafs played well in this game, CJ, but ultimately came unglued due to some unfortunate goaltending, we'll call it, in a 5-3 loss here to the Panthers. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, probably their toughest loss of the year, just because, you know, I think that's as well as Toronto has played, certainly off the top of my head that I can think of, and you know, really dominant game, a big game for them against the team they're directly fighting for a playoff spot, and then, you know, lose their starting goaltender to an injury, and the backup, you know, couldn't do the job tonight. I mean, I don't see much more analysis really needed. I mean, that was a really dominant game from the Leafs. I mean, three shots in the second period. I think they were 46 feet, 79 feet, and 121 feet. I mean, any of us could have stopped all three of those. And then, obviously, a little bit more, you know, in the third. But, you know, they had a 3-1 lead at that point. And, you know, two of those three goals, I don't like, that went in on Hutchinson. And, you know, they lose the game. I mean, not to, a tough spot for him to go into. I do agree with what Sheldon was saying there. You know, This was a goaltending loss, and I think a lot of it now rests on what's going on with Frederik Andersen, you know, how the Leafs have to react to this and all that stuff, spinning it forward.
And let's give credit to Sergei Bobrovsky as well, like solid goaltending on the other side, because the Leafs did play great, to your point, Chris. And you could just sense, like, everyone's been happy that Michael Hutchinson got out of that funk at the 11th hour, but everyone is just knows that, like, is on edge, because now this is year number two of a backup goaltender that just can't cut the mustard overall. So, boy, it just, you know, some Bronx cheers a little bit at the end that way, and just, we can't see this script again. So if Freddie Anderson's out, is there a move afoot to get an Aaron Dell or a Casey DeSmith? Or, I mean, what do you think if Freddie is out for any even little length of time?
Well, I mean, it might happen even if he's not out. I mean, you know, I'm sure that the management sees what we see. There's a lot of reasons why they haven't gone and got a backup. I mean, it's going to cost them more assets. You know, cap space is at a premium, and obviously they have to be careful there, especially if they're in the market for a defenseman. And, you know, I think they've just been hoping that Michael Hutchinson would figure it out. And look, there's been some encouraging signs there. I mean, his last number of starts have been very strong. It's been a little tougher these games when he's coming in relief, but you know, he did it against the Islanders. He did it on the weekend against Ottawa. He played very well in that game on Saturday. And so, you know, I can understand, you know, why they're hoping he'll pull out of it, why he can get the job done. You know, I think he works hard. He's got a great attitude. He's someone everyone's rooting for. But, you know, the Leafs are playing with fire to a certain degree, you know, not having another option in net. They don't really have a third guy. I don't sense that Kazimier Kaskisuo is someone that they want to have to rely on. And let's face it, just the way this season has gone, I think a lot more has gone wrong for the Leafs. You know, a lot of things beyond their control as well in terms of injuries and things this season. But, you know, they're still touch and go to get in the playoffs. And so every point matters. You know, they lost two here tonight that should have been theirs. And you know, this is where some of the margins really matter. And so, you know, I have to think the goaltending market will be something they explore a little bit more, no matter what happens, because you're right. It's hard not to feel a bit on edge, and you know, I don't know where the numbers fall now, but I do know that you know, Hutchinson's below an .890 save percentage on the year, and you know, that's well below average. I mean, you want a little bit better than that from your number two guy.
Yeah, he's allowed three or more goals in a period now 7 times this season, courtesy of our very own Sam McKee, with Chris Johnston breaking down a 5-3 loss here to the Florida Panthers. Definitely a deflating one. But when you look at the Cats, no Sasha Barkov, their captain, one of the best players in this league. Sergei Bobrovsky, I can even go out on a limb and say one of his best games as a Panther. I thought he was awesome in this game, 32 saves. A lot of people, do you think, are sleeping on this Panthers team? Because they can go pretty far, in my opinion, in the playoffs if everything clicks.
Yeah, you know, maybe. You know, Leafs fans probably aren't, after seeing the Panthers, you know, beat Toronto pretty good earlier in January on that Sunday night game. And then, you know, after tonight, I mean, it's, you know, it's still a team, though, that has to prove something to itself. I mean, I give them credit mm-hmm. for the fight back tonight. You know, Mark Fizik, yeah. a night he'll never forget, you know, a defenseman playing wing who ends up getting his first hat trick of his NHL career and you know, was at least getting in front of the net there and causing some havoc where he got the two goals that you know, he put past the goaltender. You know, I think the league's so close now, honestly, that there are going to be teams that miss the playoffs on both sides, the East and the West, that, you know, in my mind could, you know, we could create a scenario where they go on a long playoff run. I don't see mm-hmm. a huge gap in the NHL in general, and I think that's got to be a right. little bit scary if you're a Leafs fan, because let's face it, I mean, this team, as they perform in my eyes, as they are built, you know, it shouldn't go down to the wire in a lot of ways. But again, if a few things go wrong, the slow start, you know, they had a, you know, good 3 weeks right before Mike Babcock was fired. They didn't have a lead in the game. And all those things add up at the end of the year. And, you know, Toronto's the highest scoring team. They're the best power play since Sheldon Keefe took over. One of the best goal differentials. I mean, the underlying numbers are really solid. And, you know, yet they're still in this position. And I just think part of that is a little bit reflective of the league as it is now. And so, yeah, teams like Florida are pretty good. We're seeing the Pacific Division. I don't know who's good out there, but there's five or six teams basically all within 2 or 3 points. And, you know, 1 week you think it's Vancouver, and the next week Edmonton's playing well. Arizona's had its moments. I mean, I just think the league's really tight. And so it's tough when you're a team built to be dominant like the Leafs, because I think that a lot of the process has been dominant, but they haven't put enough points in the bank. And it's going to be a pretty nervy February and April or March around here.
Indeed it will. CJ, thanks so much for this, and we'll talk Wednesday night from Broadway, okay?
All right, sounds good, boys.
There you have it. Chris Johnson at Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. Again, the Maple Leafs falling 5-3 here to the Florida Panthers, a game in which Frederik Andersen leaves after the first period with an upper body injury. But the good news sounds like it's precautionary, and we'll see if he skates in practice tomorrow. But I'm right in saying that Sheldon Keefe said he passed the baseline test for the concussion, right?
Yeah.
That's what I understood.
About as optimistic as he could say and just say maybe Freddie will practice. Now, I wonder if it's a little bit of desperation in Sheldon's also just saying,
just get out there.
I really want Freddie in goal. I mean, they're never going to rush anybody that way. But, we'll wait and see. At least we mm-hmm. at least we know it's not something – doesn't appear to be something super serious. But also you want to get something a little more definitive by tomorrow.
I know you like to bring up every home game, the family and friends section for the opposition. Very slim pickings when it comes to Cats Nation here in Florida. There's about, 30 people out there?
No, there were more before. Before.
But, you're giving them credit.
It was pretty good.
All right, so that's Gord Stelick. I'm Nick Alberga with the break. We're going to go inside the locker room after this short break, and we'll hear from some of the players again. Just a very disappointing loss where it seemed like the Maple Leafs were in full control of this game, end up losing 5-3. A big 2 points loss in regulation against a team they're battling with for a playoff spot here in the Florida Panthers. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Bank Arena after a 5-3 loss here to the Florida Panthers. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stelick with you on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You can follow along on Twitter if you'd like to send us your thoughts on this deflating 5-3 loss at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stelick. It's time for the VTech call of the game. Win the ultimate Toronto sports getaway with the VTech wake-up call. Call 416-413-4141. Leave a message and set your alarms every Friday morning for your chance at the weekly $500 prize. To qualify for the grand prize, visit sportsnet.ca/590 for details.
Less than a minute to go. Puck stolen by Pesek. He's going to finish it off with a hat-trick goal.
Yeah, I'm as stunned as everybody out there that it's Mark Pesek, the native of Edmonton, the former Buffalo Sabre, has found a home here in Sunrise the last couple years. Playing forward in this game, known to be a defenseman. I think he was on the World Junior team for Canada a couple years or way back. But he ends up getting a hat trick, his first career. He had a monster night, Gord.
Yeah, and for the record, Joe Bowen has better calls, okay? So empty net goal call is not as best, but because give the opposing players some props.
That's seven goals on the air.
Now, by the way, even things at the end of the game. So it's okay. The three Leafs win at home. You get the three stars. Usually it's three Leafs or two Leafs. If there's an opposing player, he doesn't come out. The Leaf comes out with a fake stick that they pass to the, you know, imitation stick they pass to a fan, which is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they do the salute. They do all these things. You know, Carlton goes crazy, whatever. So they pick...
Uncle Carlton.
Did they pick two or three Florida Panthers as stars?
Mikey
tonight?
Matheson got one,
well,
third
yeah,
star.
Yeah, but somebody else skated out. Like, so it wasn't even choreographed. So the Florida Panther guys were pretty keen to come out. And I'm not sure three of them were two, but then they didn't even announce them in right order. The guys just was like, nobody was looking. It was just kind of strange that way. It was just like everybody wanted to pack up and go home, the disappointment. But the Florida Panthers were loving being a star in an opposing arena that sold out.
Yeah, well, they committed a heist. That's why they wanted to leave as quickly as possible. They shouldn't have won this hockey
game. I know, but mostly the visiting team really doesn't want to come out. I'm just saying, like, normally you don't
ever... I think in Toronto you do, though, right?
Well, the odd time they come up.
Like, just... they probably don't want to go out in Sunrise for their own three-star because nobody's there. So.
But it was like they were ignored. They came out, and I think Mike Matheson was announced, but somebody else came out because somebody has to grab you down there to tell you you're one of the stars and all that. And anyway, just that was the kind of night it was. And we just because we're talking about a Florida Panther player getting a hat trick. He got the big first goal, and that got them up 1-0. And the Maple Leafs had outshot Florida 10-0. Okay, first 11 minutes of the game, Florida did not have a shot on goal. And then either their first or second shot, they get that to go up 1-0. So there's an element of adversity for the Leafs. Florida at that point looked like they were pulling a heist. And then good on the Leafs coming back, make it 2-1 after two periods of play and the early third period goal from Austin Matthews. And Nick, we're just going over and over again, same thing. And then goaltending on one side being excellent, goaltending on the other side being way too ordinary, to be polite.
Yep, 3-on-13 for Michael Hutchison. We're feeling positive about life after 40 minutes because Hutchison had faced three shots and two were flips to his glove. But that narrative certainly changed in the third period. We're holding out hope for some audio from the locker room to get the thoughts from the players on this 5-3 loss to Florida. But let's talk some positives. I like John Tavares in this game. He was really, really strong on the puck, both sides of the puck. I think Austin Matthews, it's not talked about enough, his two-way game. Defensively, I thought he was really good in this game. And as Sheldon Keefe talked about in the postgame, one of the more stronger efforts for the Maple Leafs defensively. Games like this happen sometimes where the opposition netminder comes in your building, steals the game. I think Bobrovsky had a big reason why it was a closer game than it was, 32 saves. But Matthews, 37 goals now on the season. Like, you look at him and what Willie Nylander is doing. Nylander scoring his 25th. These guys are having unbelievable seasons, and it's overshadowed by the conversation about the backup goalie.
Well, totally, and that's what's really unfortunate. Yeah. We talked about Tyson Barrie really finding
a role. Oh, he's been great, yeah.
You know, as far as it goes, and on and on and on. And the other part is, I got to say, those power... I don't know if the last second one was a power play goal. They just came out
of the box
at one point. So anyway, I mean, they didn't count as two power play goals, but let's say they were two power play goals. And the fact was that the Leafs moved the puck, and were true to their play. And you and I are kind of going, hey, somebody shoot the puck. No, they moved it around about 12 different times. They were true to whatever they practiced. And at the end, they got the guy open in front for, in Tavares in one case, for just the nice deflection in. So, I mean, that was a positive that way. Yeah, I like so much of the game tonight.
Yeah,
like, I really do.
Weird.
I like so much of the way the Toronto Maple Leafs played. And the Florida Panthers, they'll burn the first 41 minutes of this game. You know, because they had a terrible game in Montreal. Here, the thing is, you got the Florida Panthers were on a tear. Then they took a 10-day break. They had the All-Star Game break and their own Reading Week break. And I talked to Dale Towne, their general manager, before the game. He just said that. He goes, I don't know why we take such a long break. And we played Montreal. Montreal had played a few games.
Yeah.
We get killed. And all of a sudden, the momentum, again, is not in their favor coming in tonight's game. And the Maple Leafs have it. And then bad goaltending gives it back.
Yeah, the Panthers have won 7 of 8. And, again, I guess nobody told Michael Hutchison it was a revenge game against one of his former teams because he didn't show up in this one. 3-on-13 when it comes to Hutchison. Again, Frederik Andersen, upper body injury. But from the sounds of it, it sounds precautionary. It sounds like he passed his baseline test. They were checking, obviously, for concussion. And so that's the positive news. And we await practice tomorrow before the Leafs head off to Madison Square Garden for their game on Wednesday night. A game we'll also have here on Sportsnet 5-9 of the Fan. And that's all they can pretty much do at this point.
Well, maybe it's interesting because they have a unique trip.
Yeah.
And it's called the Mentors Trip. and you can take somebody. It cannot be your parents.
Or your
pet. It cannot
be
your spouse. It cannot be a blood
relative. I thought I saw Len Barry here today.
Well,
Maybe just me.
He could be here. I don't know. He could be here, but he's apparently not eligible for that trip.
If you make an X amount of dollars, you can be wherever you want.
Well, anyway, the mentors. So this will be an interesting one. They were here for the home game.
Yeah.
And then they will fly with the Toronto Maple Leaf team to New York. But actually, as I think about it, you know, your mentor, they really – they don't need it. Like, they played well.
I'd bring
well.
You, Gordon.
Well, I would. I appreciate that. You should bring me. I don't know who I'd bring, but it won't be you. But anyway, because you're a young guy. You're a young protege.
You grew a beard like me, so.
You're a young protege.
You
but it's kind of a neat concept. So, generally, those things have gone well on the road when it's been the mom's or dad's trips. So, we'll see how that works out. That'd be a nice trip to go to New York City.
Again, a 769 save percentage for Michael Hutchinson. Very symbolic of Sam McKee's beer league netminder.
That's
Boom. We'll hit the break. Other side, I hear we have John Tavares.
Okay,
so we'll
perfect.
Hear from the captain coming up. But the Maple Leafs falling 5-3 here to the Florida Panthers. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome back to Scotiabank Arena. Wrapping up Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers, as Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. Tonight, a very disappointing loss here to a team you're fighting for a playoff spot with in the Florida Panthers. 5-3 the final. Again, the big story, Frederik Andersen leaving after 20 minutes due to an upper body injury. Sounds precautionary, so that's the good news. We'll find out more maybe at practice. I don't know how loud the music's going to be with a potential concussion there at practice tomorrow.
That's right.
But we'll see.
Quiet Freddy wants it down.
Yeah, they have the Beatles playing, like, quiet music in the background. I could see that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why not?
Hopefully they've dodged the bullet here again, because so Michael Hutchinson comes in, makes three saves on three shots in the second period, did not do the same in the third period. Overall, surrenders three goals on 13 shots. Just simply put, not good enough. Let's hear now from the captain from Oakville, Ontario, John Tavares.
Obviously disappointing. It's not going to be a good feeling leaving the rink, especially I think overall the way we played. We got sloppy early in the third and just didn't do a good enough job exiting our zone clean at times, and obviously led to some of their opportunities. You know, there's a lot of hockey left, so we just have to turn the page, as disappointing as this one is. Get ready for three more this week.
What happened in the third there, John? Did you just feel like the team maybe relaxed a bit, or what was your sense of the group?
Well, we came out really well, got a big goal, and for whatever reason, we just didn't have good response, good momentum after that, and, you know, led some of their opportunities, and they started getting some belief and some momentum, and you know, we weren't able to do a good enough job the rest of the period.
A little concerned when Andersen doesn't return there for the second period?
Yeah, obviously, Freddie's a big part of our team. He's been huge for us all year. So, but, you know, Hutch is very capable and has played great for us. He's gotten some really good results. So we have to do, you know, a better job in front of him, especially for the shifts there led to their opportunities and to their goals in the third. So, he gives us a chance to win every night, and as a group, you know, injuries happen, and we have to find a way to get the results.
What was the key to the dominance in the second period for you guys?
Well, I think we just did a really good job through the neutral zone. We controlled possession a lot in their end. We were able to draw some penalties, get rewarded for it, and just continue to not give them much time and space to come down our half of the rink and just be able to really control the game that way. Obviously, it would have been nice to carry that over.
Can your group learn something from the desperation that they showed in a third period?
Yeah, I think we're desperate, and I think overall it was a positive game. Obviously, the result is what matters at the end of the day. There's no question about that, and it's disappointing and frustrating that we didn't do a good enough job for that stretch in the third period. So, you know, we just got to obviously get better and understand, you know, what's ahead. Obviously, this one hurts. It stings and disappointing, but we have more opportunities ahead of us and got to get ready for that.
From the professional John Tavares to professional broadcasters and Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, he just always knows what to say. And that's, you know, part of the reason why he's the captain of this team is addressing the media and stabilizing stuff. Because, I mean, tonight you look at this game and say, wow, this could go off the rails really quickly. But I thought very professional comments by John Tavares.
And I especially like January 12th in Florida where, you know, the inkling was, I think Paul Hendrick opened it about, hey, is this one of those things you just forget? You know, because there's certain games that isn't a bad line, forget the game, just move forward. But he said, hey, no, we didn't show up. This is embarrassing. This is a four-point game. I'm really disappointed. And tonight, yeah, just, you know, talking about it, it's a game they very much did show up. And he's been in a bit of a drought of late. He got one of those nice goals I'm talking about where they worked it around, and he tipped it in from in front of the net. And other positives we mentioned as well, just because we got some stats now, but Tyson Barry, 27 minutes, 39 seconds. This is a game that didn't go into overtime. That's usually, you know, somebody when you get a couple of minutes in the 3-on-3 overtime. So that's a lot of ice time he got tonight. And he really deserved it. I thought he played really, really well.
Yeah, the last couple of games especially, Tyson Barry starting to play more effective and more comfortable. And that's great news for the Maple Leafs, especially without Morgan Rielly in the lineup. I can't believe that Zach Hyman might play his way out of Toronto in terms of a contract, Gord. He's got 23 points in the last 24 games. Like, do you believe the type of run that Zach Hyman is on right now? I get it, he's playing with Marner and Matthews, but the way he's playing is a much different style we've ever seen, and really digging that puck and creating space for the big boys on that line.
Yeah, it's funny because when he was out of the lineup early on, and of course they struggled under Mike Babcock, you had all these people that were not capitalized on it, saying, man, you got a chance to play. I don't know, Marner and Matthews weren't together, but I mean on the top two lines and just not able to make the most of it. And Zach Hyman has done that,
yeah,
you know, ever since he's been here. He's got one more year after this season. Again, the whole middle class era of contracts is an interesting animal. It seems, you know, you get priced out like Nazem Kadri.
It's a club-friendly
contract, but then when you get a couple of top-end guys, $4.5 million for Naz, although as a number two center in Colorado, it's much more palatable.
Well, I think if Hyman continues to produce at this type of rate, he's probably looking $4 to $5 million on July 1 when he's eligible for an extension. The Maple Leafs just can't, quite frankly, do that right now.
Well, I think, yeah, you know? They'd wait another year
exactly.
Anyway. He would as well. I think he's one guy, and I'm not trying to get him to take the hometown discount. I just
think
he's a guy that really knows what it's to be a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Just ask Sokolov, Gordon.
He's got the Sokolov deal. And also just grew up in Toronto, you know, big Toronto family and that, and it's hey, if you grew up, whatever city it may be, and, you know, you and I, it's Toronto area, that kicks ass to be a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It is fun to do the broadcast as well with Gord Stellick. And, again, you can join us coming up on Wednesday for Leafs Nation pregame. We'll have the entire broadcast of that one. It's the Maple Leafs visiting the New York Rangers Friday against the Anaheim Ducks at home here at Scotiabank Arena. Leafs Nation postgame for that one. And we have the game on Saturday as well against the Montreal Canadiens. Many thanks to Sam McKee, Vic Pilati, and Josh Santos, and Mark Boffo. Gord, you're so professional a broadcaster. It's unbelievable.
Well, it is. And this was a very professional appearance by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Unfortunately, goaltending ruled the
more
day.
So unprofessional for Mike Hodgson. No, well, we're not going to rag on him. 3-13, tough night, a 5-3 loss to the Panthers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Take care.